What's up, guys? It's a sad news, and to be frank, I don't give a fuck whether you think my video is clickbait or not. Tom was first and foremost my friend, and I will say whatever I want to fucking say. I don't care. From 09 to 2012, I spent 3-4 days a week with Tom every week. Week in, week out. Nobody on the street, just Tom and me. Yeah, running around eating apples on Oxford Street, but that was about it, okay? The rest of the guys were laughable. Very few people know Tom better than me. Obviously, his mom, his sister, and maybe some girls he dated know him quite well, but I knew a side of Tom that very few people knew as well as I did, because I got to know Tom when, you know, there was no persona that he had created. It was the real Tom. It was just Tom, okay? So I think that gives me some credibility. And also, I knew the people that knew Tom very well. I'll get into that in a little bit. I knew everything before Tom became Tom Torero. I knew everything about Tom, so I have the right to say whatever the fuck I want. And if you think it's clickbait, you can go fuck yourself, I don't care. First, it's really tragic, the loss is stupid. And I'm sorry for Tom's family. Okay, making this video is harder than I thought. It's pretty hard for me. But I gotta push through. So, second, I think, you know, we need to come together, because this community has many men that find it, you know, really valuable what people are publishing. And so I think in a moment like this, you need to hit the like and the subscribe button, because in difficult times, people need to come together and somebody needs to speak the truth and not some bullshit blah blah from people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and they didn't know Tom and they don't know what they're talking about, and they're just using it to get clicks or whatever. But like, in difficult times like this, you know, you need a leader, and I will not stand down, I will stand up. And most of the people are like shitting their pants. I'm not shitting my pants, I don't give a fuck. And we need to let this, you know, fake media know that we're not going to be taken down. We need to stand up for it and fight, because Tom did not die in vain, okay? There was a lot of really, really good things that he did, and maybe a lot of things that were not so great, but like, we cannot let, and I'll get into why, this media fake news stuff let them take us down, okay? So let me tell you who Tom Torero is. Tom is a born nerd, okay? Tom was not a born player at all. He had a degree from Oxford, I think in evolutionary biology, something similar. He studied under the likes of Richard Dawkins, for those of you who know who that is. Basically like a legend in biology, like you can put him up there on the pedestal of the most influential scientists in the world, okay? So Tom is clearly extremely smart, smarter than me, I have no problem saying that. He also got bullied at school heavily, and had probably had a mental predisposition for, you know, some mental illnesses, or a predisposition for mental illnesses, maybe genetically, or maybe through trauma and so on and so forth, I don't know. But the bullying definitely didn't help, and I think it destroyed his soul, it destroyed his, you know, confidence as a young adolescent or boy, whatever. And so I think, you know, he really took some hard hits and never quite recovered from that. I think he's a sweet person, so he probably was very, you know, open and vulnerable, and people took advantage of it, and that can really form you. And so I think that's what happened. So then you fast forward a little bit, and Tom applies his big brain to something like seduction, and he has the evolutionary background, so he knows all about, you know, the process of Darwinism and so on. And then he transforms himself into that seduction expert, that guy that like wears leather jackets and like meets a lot of girls. And you know, when I met Tom, he was still a primary school teacher. He was, you know, still teaching and then coming out of school and going out with me in the streets and seducing or learning how to seduce. And he was, you know, very completely unknown, you know, like nobody knew him. And so, you know, contrast that to me. I think, you know, Tom always said, I learned so much more from you than you learned from me. Well, I didn't have that bully problem. I had a beautiful girlfriend since I was young. And so, yeah, you know, I gave a lot of knowledge to Tom, just, you know, not in terms of like theory, but like in practical application, you know. So Tom discovered the art of seduction with me, and I think he used it as a way to plug holes in his soul that he suffered from his youth. I think it was a refuge for him. It was something where he finally, you know, had a leg up on the bullies and on the world. And, you know, I know revenge is never a good motive, but at least he got a handle on like becoming somebody better or more, you know, respected in society. And it's an empty refuge. Every day a new girl, and then she walks out to be replaced by another meaningless encounter. And those of you that have done this, it gets very empty, it gets lonely. And I realized that, you know, drowning in some pointless pool of pussy is not the meaning of life. But I also didn't have holes to plug, okay? So for that reason, I had to break with Tom in 2013, because I had to distance myself from Tom and the toxicity around this whole endless vortex of new girls, and the rest of the industry I always found weird, period, all of them. Tom, okay, was nerdy, but he wasn't weird. I found the other people in the industry coming from a dark or disturbed place. So, you know, for me to cut this negativity out, I had to cut out Tom, the good part, in order to cut out the rest of the crowd, which was for me the bad part. And I don't need to name any names, it doesn't matter to me, that's how I felt and that's why I did it. Okay, so Tom, on the other hand, he got completely consumed, okay? He had various things working against him there. He got famous, quote unquote. He made money, he traveled, he had girls, you know. He had it all, like seemingly on the outside. It looked really, really good, especially if you're a primary school teacher, you know, that looks really, the contrast you feel, I think, really strongly. Lots of investment and very difficult to go back from that, I think. So he got completely consumed while I completely did the opposite. You know, I started working, making a lot of money, girls I had anyway. Like, I didn't really need this game shit to, you know, pull me out of something or put me on some higher level of self-worth or something like that. So in 2013, I not only pulled myself out of this like self-destructive vortex of daygame.com and all that, but I pulled my best friend along, and he was introduced to me by Tom. Tom always used to, you know, if the guys were a little bit too nice, but in general had really good potential, he used to introduce them to me and say, look, Tony, you need to speak to this guy, he's a good guy, he just doesn't get this or that thing. And then I would say, okay, whatever, I'll come over, I'll meet you guys, we'll go out. And then, you know, Tom used to just add this edge that I added to him. He knew I could add that to other quote-unquote nerds. So that's when, you know, when we met up for drinks and stuff like that. So that's how I met my best friend. And I pulled him out of that as well. He met a really nice girl that he's engaged to, and he got out of it. And I'm not saying I did it all by myself. He realized it, but maybe I had the impulse, you know, to, you know, say, let's get the fuck out of this. So we are best friends, and I think that this guy's mother is pretty happy that I pulled him out of this madness. And he then, in turn, so my best friend, pulled out a good friend of his who lived with Tom for a very long time at the daygame.com headquarters, and that guy also got out and is doing other things now. So three people made it out of that dark vortex of the London game, day game, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, Tom, he got deeper and deeper and deeper into the cycle of like fame, money, girls, traveling and so on, plucking the proverbial, you know, holes, literally and metaphorically. But then Tom, you know, in 2018, he pulled me back into DG or into game by publishing two podcasts with me and unleashing Tony Hustle, so to speak, which it was a good time for me because I was financially independent, mature, single. Okay, we can debate whether I was that mature, but I was independent and single. So for me, I wanted to get out anyway. And so I took that, you know, I took that as a bit of a springboard into changing my life. And so, yeah, that happened. And the problem I had with Tom at this point was really linked to his insecurities, because he always viewed me, I think, as the badass guy who played soccer, had hot girls at a young age, which is not really true. Like, okay, I wasn't like some, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but I was just more normal than a nerd, okay? But because I had cut him out in 2013, I think he felt like I judged him for what he did, that, you know, it's stupid and that he should do better than this. And, you know, actually, I was the guy who got him out of daygame.com, made him publish his own stuff, and he would credit me any time of the day for that. I told him, you're wasting your time with these guys, do your own thing. So, you know, I think he truly knew that I had the balls that he maybe lacked, and maybe he was a bit insecure and felt like I was judging him. And, you know, all of that is just a reflection of his mental instability and his like lack of confidence and so on. But to me, it felt like he pulled me also back in to get vindication and to, like, you know, get credibility for that character Anthony he describes in his books. And he did. Yeah, he legitimized it and create credibility in this way, which is fine. But the sad part for me was that he still was insecure and kind of standoffish with me, and I just never like experienced something like this, somebody I spent so much time with, to like really think that I would judge them after all the things we had done together. So trust me, I really reached out to Tom tens of times via email, but Tom was always, he felt like butthurt that I cut him out and I took away these other guys, and he never came really through. He just kind of like, we did the boot camp and then we did the podcasts, and other than that he was friendly but standoffish, and you know, there was nothing really to be afraid of. But like fast forward 2021, this year, out of nowhere, Tom writes me an email asking me to take down all content of him on my channel because of some bad media that was to be published about him very soon. So I told him, okay, it's no problem, I can do it, don't really care. Let's have a chat, you tell me what you want and then we'll do it. And, you know, I said maybe we can go for a beer or something, or if you have problems, can help you host your content differently and so on. I was just really normal and nice, and you know, again, like he ghosted me and just said, he said nothing. So I said, fuck off, I'm not going to take down anything if you don't respect me, like get on the phone or have a conversation. Like I'm not some idiot that you can write an email to and then I changed my life. So I didn't do anything. Instead, I made a video about the deplatforming of Tom Torero, which I felt was the truth, and I still feel is the truth. it's a travesty, and that video is still true, and you can find it there. It has like Tom's face with like the, it says busted, and the background is like, you know, some kind of prison thing, whatever, some clickbaity thing. Anyway, so weirdly enough, that time when that happened, which is not too long ago, I also felt like the need to publish what has been going on, you know, in the true London game story from my point of view, because a lot of guys wrote a lot of shit about me that's not true, and I'm not even gonna bother going through it, but there are stories that are simply not true in some of the books by some of the people. I don't name any names, but they're not true. Some of those articles, the way they're written, are not true. I don't care. But weirdly enough, I also published two articles on the Hustler Vault. The link is in the description. You can go there. It's my platform, detailing my time with Tom and other people and the whole London Day game or game story. And you can find them under the True London Game Story if you want to read a bit more. I could publish a lot more, but I just published two just to give a bit of background, how I met Tom and getting started and my point of view. It's there. So now, you know, kind of the background, how we got to 2021. And obviously, Tom went through a rough patch with COVID isolation and was in the midst of a like deep depression, I suppose. Not the first time. He's been public about this, that he has some mental issues, mental illness. And then the devastating article emerged that Tom warned me about. And came out in the news depicting Tom as a monster. And, you know, for those of you who've read it, you know what I mean. On that point, by the way, I haven't seen Tom's material, videos, audios, and I don't vouch for the legality of what Tom has produced, recorded, published. I don't know what's in there, to be fair, but I would assume that if it was illegal, the police would have taken action, as Tom was well known for many years. And so further, I've known Tom for a very long time, between basically 09 and 012, every day, every week. And in my presence, he never did anything that I would consider illegal, and he always treated the girls nicely. If you don't believe me, you can go and talk to the girls he dated. Lucia comes to mind, a girl that I met with Tom in South Kensington, close to the Natural History Museum. I was there when he met her. She was kind of his girlfriend, on and off. He really cared for her. She really loved him. He really liked her. And there was another French girl called Manon that Tom met on Oxford Street. Also a very nice girl. And, you know, I met her, she really liked him, they got along, they went on walks in the cemetery in Earl's Court next to where Tom used to live, and I used to live there close. So, you know, for those of you that know a bit about Tom, like, Tom and I were in Earl's Court a lot in that area, so the girls were nice, these girls adored Tom, and I knew them well enough to be able to say that I saw them always happy and smiling in his presence, and I never saw them being taken advantage of. Yeah, he had his way with them, but like, so would they were well aware of what was going on, and they were well aware of Tom's, you know, debaucheries and character and what he was doing. They just loved it. They were young and they were into it. So, you know, it always takes two to tango, and you can always say piss off if you don't like it. So on those two bases, you know, without seeing the material, I can say he hasn't been convicted, and I only have seen good things. Never any brutality or crazy psychological pressuring or anything. If I understand the law correctly, I believe anyway that everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Or is this something I just pulled out of my ass? I don't think so. So I have to conclude that the media was twisting and misrepresenting Tom with one goal in mind, one goal only: get clicks, get paid, okay? We all know that's the game, that's the Facebook game, that's all media has one game: get clicks, get paid, okay? Because none of the words that they write are supported by evidence that would conclude that Tom is a crafty sexual predator taking advantage of teenage girls, okay? Tom wasn't strong enough as a person to push for a defamation case against the media. It's not cheap and it's torture to go through, and I understand why he didn't do it. He didn't want that. He was just wanted to live his life, and he should have done it anyway, in my point of view. But let's flip this around. How about the other side of the coin? As a good journalist, what should you do? I mean, it's your job to do research on a topic or a person or whatever it is that you assign yourself, okay? And you should find out things, the truth. That's your job as a good journalist. If you want to win a Pulitzer Prize, something like that, you discover a story and a truth that was unknown, and you bring it out, and it's supported by evidence, not by, you know, hearsay or by some story that you make up, okay? So it was obviously apparent, if you did the work, the journalist work, that Tom was a mentally unstable person. He spoke about it at length in his podcast. As a matter of fact, there are many famous people that once teetered on the edge of suicide, you know? Tom is not the only person. Tim Ferriss comes to mind as one person who openly describes how he almost killed himself. But let me name a few more that were not that lucky, not as lucky as Tim Ferriss. DJ Avicii comes to mind, maybe the star chef Anthony Bourdain, or activist hacker Aaron Schwartz, the internet's own boy, for those of you who don't know, watch the documentary. Or somebody as famous as comedian Robin Williams, okay? All these people killed themselves. And this list is endless. You can Google it. There's hundreds of famous, borderline famous people. And you know what? They all have one thing in common. They struggled with their illness for years. And then a catalyst came along that simply pushed them over the edge. It's an outside event that pushed them over the edge to commit suicide. Look at it. Avicii's management was pimping him out for gigs to make more money. The FBI or CIA, whoever, the feds were pressuring Aaron Schwartz, like a really young, fragile, ultra smart guy. They were trying to get him to sign a proffer letter, pushing him over the edge, making him basically commit suicide. Howard Stern was dissing and destroying Robin Williams publicly on his show. The day he realized that he did it and he called Robin Williams was the day Robin Williams killed himself. Okay, I'm not saying Howard Stern killed Robin Williams, but there are catalysts. And if you have this power and you know you're dealing with a mentally ill person, which you should know if you're a good journalist that this is the case because you did your research, you have to be aware that you have a power. You have the power to ruin this person and destroy them, okay? Now let's talk about morals. According to the media, Tom is a sexual predator and a monster, although he has never been convicted of any sexual crimes or had any restraining orders issued or the like, okay? Of course, the media has the power to paint the person in a way that destroys their lives. Imagine somebody took your life, found out the worst things you've ever done, and then published it on the front page of the newspaper. Anybody would look bad, okay? But that doesn't make you a bad person, because everybody has done one or the other bad thing, okay? But the media has a disproportionate power of destroying your life. And they're aware of it, and they're just doing it to make money, okay? So, of course, the media has that power, and this power can be abused. But remember, when a person is mentally unstable, it only takes a little bit of outside force to push them into suicide. And what about the act then, in the light of this outside force? What about the act of publishing a twisted, misrepresented article that takes away the livelihood, dignity, and the will to live, therefore, of a mentally ill person? What about that? What if someone pushed a mentally ill person into suicide by bullying them ruthlessly, shaming them publicly. What would we call that? Think about it. That's really a tough one, right? Because you know this person is sick and you're doing everything in your power to push them over the edge. Whether you know it or not, doesn't matter, you're doing it. I would call this, I don't know what do you call this? You call it suicide or would you call it psychological warfare on the highest level against the mentally ill person? I mean, it's not even suicide. If the media can call Tom Torero a sexual predator without any evidence whatsoever, then we can say that they're liable of involuntary manslaughter. And hear me out, why involuntary manslaughter? Well, involuntary manslaughter is the killing of a human being without the intent of doing so, either expressed or implied. It's distinguished from voluntary manslaughter by the absence of intention. I think that it's very appropriate as a description of what occurred. A mentally ill person was killed due to a public smear campaign by a group of people that have total disregard for human life and only care about their own profit motives, i.e. clicks and making money. I'm not a lawyer, I have no legal education. I'm solely expressing my feelings and my views of the events that transpired in late 2021 leading to Tom Torero's death. And as a good friend, I'm only saying I never saw Tom do anything that I would say is correctly depicted in these public media, in these media publications, okay? So let's close the loop. Because I didn't do this for nothing, okay? I don't think Tom's life was in vain. He did a lot of really good things that helped a lot of people. If you read the comments under any media article or any blog, there is vast majority of the comments are positive. Thank you for helping me and so on and so forth, okay? Few idiots are writing stupid stuff. It's mainly from the manosphere or some other groups that have an agenda, but you know, I'm willing to fight back. If Tom wasn't willing to, I'm willing. I will set up a free server with Tom's material so that his life was not in vain. I need help for this because, you know, this is not something that you can just do. It costs money and so on and so forth. But if you want to help and, you know, preserve Tom's legend, videos, audios, and you have access to his material, then write me an email to anthony.hustlex@gmail.com. If we can, so this is what I'm saying, if we can raise $2,000, I can cover my cost and set up a free server, and I'll put the material on there basically for free. It will be protected, the server, against hacking attacks and the like, so it will be virtually impossible to take it down. So I think we owe it to Tom. Let's preserve the man, the myth, the legend of Tom Torero, and let's not give the fake media the power to just kill anybody out there, take down their content and destroy them. To donate to the cause so I can reach that goal, go to the Hustler Vault, links in the description, and purchase the Tom Torero Legend product. There's various tiers that you can donate. Small donations, bigger donations, I'll just set it up and you can choose. And I will make sure that it's you have my word, this money will go towards this cause. So yeah, it's a very sad story. And I think, you know, I always think like, what would Tom say if he was here? Like I was always meeting him in Earl's Court for breakfast, you know, we'd have like a bangers and mash and then we would go out and roam around and do our thing. He'd always greet me with, he'd always be there early, like reading, you know, doing his thing, and I'd come a little bit late, he'd sit there already, he'd say, hey mate, you alright? And you know, he'd probably tell me, stop crying like a baby, I had a good run, go out there and do what you were born to do. I know, something to that effect, with a little, you know, a little smile on his face, a little cheeky smile. And I just say, like, it's a waste. Tom will be missed, and it's a tragedy.
Seems like yesterday we used to rock the show. I laced the track, you locked the flow. So far from hanging on the block for dough. Notorious, they got to know that life ain't always what it seemed to be. Words can't express what you mean to me. Even though you're gone, we still a team. Through your family, I'll fulfill your dreams. In the future, can't wait to see if you open up the gates for me. Reminisce sometime, the night they took my friend. Try to black it out, but it plays again. When it's real, feeling's hard to conceal. Can't imagine all the pain I feel. Give anything to hear half your breath. I know you're still living your life after death.